Well, saints, are we genuinely concerned for God's interests on this earth? I appreciated the brother's word to summarize the previous three evening line messages. One, we want to love the Lord. Amen. Secondly, we need to love His word. Amen. Then, we need to love life. Well, this word this morning is on prophesying, and actually it's on 1 Corinthians 14. But did you know chapter 13 comes before chapter 14? I'd like to read to you verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So before I even share a little bit on prophesying, I'd like to open up this little portion here about love. The love mentioned in chapter 13 is not a regular love. The love mentioned here in the Greek is agape, the divine love. So I pray this morning we would be filled with the divine love for Christ and for the church. Let me read you a footnote here as well in 1 Corinthians. Now this footnote is in chapter 14, footnote 1. To pursue love is to seek after growth in life. Amen. Oh, let me say that again. To pursue love is to seek after growth in life.
Amen.
Do you want to grow in life?
Amen.
Amen. This growth in life is for the development of the gifts in life. Hence, it must be matched with an earnest desire for the most profitable gift, the gift of prophecy. Footnote 3. Since to prophesy is to speak for the Lord and to speak forth the Lord, that is to minister Christ to people, which is the main element in the church meeting, prophesying requires the divine life to fill it as its content. Love is the most excellent way. Love is the most excellent way. Saints, I need you to exercise your spirit to receive this word, because Satan hates this word. He hates a word that would build up the church. If the church is built up, it's over. The enemy, he loses all time. So saints, I very much need your exercise of the Spirit to receive this word.
Amen.
Love is the most excellent way.
Amen.
To experience the divine life and make it the content of the gift of prophecy for building up the church. Hence, we must pursue love and desire earnestly this greater gift. Well, real quick, let me give you a brief definition of prophesying. Many of you may think it's just to predict the future. But let me let you know here, in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, prophesying is not merely to predict the future. It's actually to speak for God.
Amen.
Where on this earth will we hear God's voice? Who will speak for God? Actually, day by day, as the brothers were sharing, we need a daily living that expresses Christ, but not only that, speaks for God. Not only is prophesying to speak for God, it's to speak forth God.
Amen.
We don't just speak about doctrines. Our speaking is God being made manifest. John 1:1 says, the Word was God.
Amen.
What are we doing in prophesying? We speak the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God means it's the definition, the explanation, and expression of God. Well, not only that, we want to speak God into others. I don't want to just speak mere things here, but I want the words to get into you.
Amen.
We want to be dispensing and ministering the Christ that we have enjoyed into others. Ultimately, prophesying is to speak building up, to build up the church, an encouragement to the saints, and consolation to the unbelieving and backsliding ones. Well, to those that are familiar with prophesying, I would like to insert this point. Prophesying is not limited to the Lord's day. Do you hear that? Prophesying is not limited to the Lord's day. Every day, do we give life Do we give Christ to others? Amen. Is that your aspiration? Amen. To give life?
Amen.
Give Christ to others?
Amen.
That was a very weak aspiration. Do you have an aspiration to give life?
Amen.
To give Christ to others?
Amen.
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 Well, every day, do we exercise to speak for God, to speak forth God, to speak God into others? Or do we speak me? Do I speak for me? Do I speak forth my preferences? Do I speak my opinions into others? Every day, do we speak building up, encouragement, and consolation? Or do we speak discouragement, tearing down, and criticisms? I appreciate it in hymn 1248, there's a line, Lord, we would have a restless caring for your house. Do we have such a restless caring that even at night, maybe you would lose some sleep? Lord, your church. Lord, your built-up house. Where is it on the earth today? Am I one that desires to prophesy, that seeks to excel for the building up of the church? Well, let's move on, saints. Let me ask you again, are we genuinely concerned for God's interest on the earth? Well, the importance of prophesying. Why is it so important to prophesy? Well, actually, did you know in this universe there are two big wills? You have God's will and you have Satan's will. And within the two, there's man, his will. You choose one or the other, there's no neutral ground. If you choose yourself, you're actually for Satan's will. You choose the Lord, you choose life. Well, you're for God's will. Well, let me speak a little something to paint a black ground, which is Satan's will. And I'll read you these verses in Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, to show us a window of Satan's heart's desire and Satan's will. I hope after each pause, just as you would say amen to the word of God, you would say no. Let's practice that. No to Satan's will. I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God.
No.
I will exalt my throne.
No.
And I will sit upon the mount of assembly.
No.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.
No.
I will make myself like the Most High.
No.
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 To Satan our response is no.
No.
Well, you may think Satan is just kind of an abstract thought, but you know what his will is? That you would be in death. That you would be dead. You'd be deadened in your spirit. Well, what is death? Maybe some of you think, well, death, I don't really know too much about that. I like life, you know. Well, what is death? Maybe you came to this meeting and you read the title, Prophesying. Oh, I guess it means that they're going to exhort us to share in the meetings. You're in death. You're already closed. You have no heart to receive what the Lord wants to impart into your being. Maybe you come to another meeting, your college meeting. Well, there's the brothers and the sisters that always share. Yeah, they'll always share. I can just sit and relax. You're in death. You have no lips to speak forth what God might touch you with. Not only that, let's say there's a pause in a prayer meeting. You know, oh Lord, we love you and want you to move on this earth. And there's silence and you're there and the Lord is prompting you. Pray. Be one. Be one. Keep the oneness. Pray. Oh, it's okay to be silent. An older brother, older sister will continue praying. Oh, it's fine. They know how to pray anyways. You're in death. Saints, I'd like to expose the enemy this morning because his will is that you would stay and remain in death. God's will is that you would be in life.
Amen.
Why? If you're in life, the building up of the church is possible. In the New Testament, when God became a man by the name of Jesus, he said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church.
Amen.
How about you all say that? I will build my church. I will.
Amen.
This is God's will. Very important. I will. He didn't say, Satan, I will come and crush you like a little bug. No. He refers to the church. I will build my church. You know, the church, that's us. But are we cooperating that this church would be further built up? Or are we okay to just be a bunch of material strewn about and hopefully well, I'm a piece of clay, you're a piece of clay, okay, let's just clump together. Okay, cool. That's the meeting. Okay, now I do my daily life, I'm still clay. Oh, here comes another meeting, okay. And the enemy comes and just smashes it. Keeps you in death. Well, saints, my burden is not to condemn you this morning, but I hope you all realize this, that this is very much on the Lord's heart. And the reason why prophesying is so vitally important is because this really builds up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, he who prophesies speaks building up. Isn't that awesome? Your speaking can be a building up word. Right, Caleb? Your speaking can be a building up word. Amen. Not only that, your living can be building up to others. In the morning, first thing in the morning, let's say a brother was snoring the previous night and you didn't get the best sleep. Maybe you didn't get the best sleep. In the morning, when you wake up, oh, there's that brother. Hey, brother, I'd just like to let you know, I had a really hard time sleeping last night. You know, you're snoring a little too loudly. Maybe can you not snore next time? Was that building up? It wasn't building up, wasn't it? Did you minister Christ as life? Very much, I appreciate it last night. We don't want to be for life! Yeah. But is that the first consideration we have when we have interactions with one another in our daily life? God's will is to gain a corporate expression on the earth today. That is the church. That's us. What kind of church is it? What kind of church do we aspire to build up? 1 Timothy 3:15. It's the church of the living God. Amen. Day by day, we want to be enjoying our living God. Not a God in doctrine. I like that. A living God. Day by day, morning by morning. Is our God living? You know that song, Our God is Living? Say hallelujah. He's living in us. Say hallelujah. Okay? Is it just a good song? Kind of catchy tune? You know? Oh, hallelujah. But is he really living to you? When we're talking to our roommates, or when I speak with my wife, is God living? I believe we're all learning that our God is living. Right? My wife can testify. I'm learning. Brothers and sisters, are we genuinely concerned for God's interests on the earth? The church is the house of the living God. So what then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has. Whenever you come together, the living God is expressed. A house expresses the owner of that house, and the house of God is no less. Our God is living!
Amen.
Say,
hallelujah!
Our God is living!
Hallelujah! Oh,
there we go, there we go. That's better. Let me read you some verses from Haggai concerning God's house and concerning where some of us might be and what we want to fight against. Verse 2, Haggai 1:2. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time for the house of Jehovah to be built. Verse 4, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled up houses while this house lies waste? Verse 6, you have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but there is no satisfaction. You drink, but there is no being filled with drink. You dress yourselves, but there's no warmth in doing so. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes, meaning the money goes away. Verse 9, you looked for much, and yet it amounted to little. And when you brought it home, I blew on it. Why, declares Jehovah of hosts? Because of my house that lies waste, while you each run to your own house. I'm very much before the Lord in saying this, that I feel the Lord is very much pleading with you all this morning. My house that lies waste, while each of you run to your own house. I hope you all are very much before the Lord in your heart. Lord, in my heart, am I for my house or am I for your house? I hope through the shining of the light, when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you can say, Lord, I'm for your house. And this is not a zealous burning. I tell you, this is not a zealous burning, you burning brothers. You know, we're for the Lord, amen. But rather, as you enjoy life, as you enjoy the church-loving Christ, because, you know, He's the only one that really loves the church. We all have to confess, Lord, sometimes my love for the saints, my love for the church falls short. But Lord, your love for the church, wow, it is most precious. It is like a husband loving his wife. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. What a love is that? Well, then we need to what? Enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
This is where it kind of goes up. We need to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
And as the Lord makes home in our heart is one with His heart. Our heart is for the built-up church. Well, let me read you some verses in 1 Corinthians 14 now concerning prophesying. And I hope this would be our aspiration as well. This gives us the practical way to really care for God's house. Verse 1, desire, especially that you would prophesy. Desire. I hope every morning as we wake up, as we spend time with the Lord, there is a burning desire. Oh Lord, today as I enjoy the Lord, not just for me, Lord, I want to be speaking you. I want to be expressing you. So whenever we come together, I have. Verse 3, he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. I believe I already covered this. Verse 5, desire, again, especially that you would prophesy. I like how Paul wrote this twice, just in case we didn't get the point. Verse 12, seek that you may excel for the building up of the church. I know many in their sophomore, junior year, in college, and maybe some seniors, you're seeking to excel in your occupation or your future jobs and everything. You're seeking to excel in your internship. You're seeking to excel in your studies. You're seeking to excel to be able to dunk. You're seeking to excel, in my example, when I was younger, I was seeking to excel to be able to beat everyone in the world. Fighting, that is. Well, what are we seeking today? Do we seek to excel for the building up of the church? I believe we all fall short in this, and we need to spend much time with the Lord. But I want to encourage you all, the Lord, as He infuses His heart into you, right, Pablo? As He infuses His heart into you, whose heart do you have? The Lord's heart. Very good. You have the Lord's heart, and His heart is very much for the church. I'd just like to unveil this afresh. The Lord's heart ultimately is for His church. When He gets the church, oh, Satan, you're out of here. I like that. I hate Satan.
Amen.
I love the Lord.
Amen.
Practically, I hate death.
Amen.
I love life.
Amen.
How about we say, I hate death, I love life. Go.
I hate death. I love life.
Well, that particular gathering where the believers prophesy is one gathering in the entire Bible where an unbeliever or an unlearned one enters. You know what he will do? He'll worship God, declaring that indeed God is among you. Did you know that? You could bring a friend. You can bring a Christian friend, an unlearned one. And he comes in and says, God is among you. Wow! Isn't that awesome? God manifested in the flesh! That's great. That's really something to get excited about. Who cares who wins whatever game? Who cares about the Olympics? This is the highest thing in the universe. A short testimony. In the fall of 2002, my freshman year, entering at UCLA, I came to a meeting of the saints in Los Angeles. Personally, I was raised Catholic, and I had been searching for the church, actually, searching for the truth. Well, like I said, that was just a meeting. It was not a prophesying meeting. The saints were just singing. They were just singing their hearts to the Lord. Right? It goes, what then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm. Isn't that great? Singing is such a good way to express the Lord. So the saints were singing, and I was brought to tears, saints. I was brought to tears. My utterance at that time was, I found home. I can finally rest. This is where God dwells. My sense was, God had come and dwelt in the midst of those people. And I was brought to tears, saints. Those, maybe some of the older brothers that serve at UCLA, you might remember. I couldn't help but even myself stand up. And of course, you know, I was but a babe. And I said, oh, you're all like angels singing. It's so awesome. And you're shining. You're shining. I was an unlearned one. Yet I knew there was shining. Don't doubt that each and every one of you have a portion. It says all can prophesy. All can share Christ. All can speak Christ. All can enjoy life. All can minister life. Well, in the church life, in our meetings, we have only 1 hour given to have a particular meeting where we focus on prophesying. Sometimes you may think that it is a time to practice prophesying. Oh, what is it? Okay, he's going, okay, maybe I'll just read this part. Okay. Actually, we practice prophesying during the week by our living and by specifically getting into the Word of God to speak God, for God, and forth God on the Lord's Day. And saints, really, it's just 2 minutes. It's just a couple of minutes of speaking Christ. Oh no, I have to share Christ. Oh, woe is me. I know students that spend hours and hours preparing an oral presentation for their class, yet they won't sacrifice 15 minutes a day to speak God for 2 minutes. Well, saints, that's my heart and that's my burden. I hope you are all touched in some way, that you would have a fresh turning to the Lord for what's on His heart. Right now, we do have some students ready to share a little testimony on their experience of practicing to prophesy. Now, prophesying, sorry, I may have made it sound really scary. I don't want it to sound like that. But it's very easy, very simple, very practical. Just to lay the foundation a little bit, these students and I, we practiced prophesying this past half a school year or so. But it didn't start with, hey, Tim, hey, Daniela, hey, Melody, let's practice prophesying. No, actually, we started very much, let's learn how to enjoy the Lord in the Word. That's loving the Lord. That's loving the Word. Then eventually, hey, let's write down something to share with one another, right? And also text one another. That's feeding one another. That's loving life and loving giving life. Well, little by little, bit by bit, as the weeks would progress, eventually we got to the point, let's write something down to prophesy. And let's practice speaking to one another to prophesy. So that on the Lord's Day, we're not just scrambling around, oh, what do I have? Do you have something? Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not ready to share. Are you ready to share? Oh, I don't. But rather, you see that the Lord has given you something to share. And then you're able to just prophesy. Anyways, as these students can testify, I believe these little practices, day by day, really made it simple and easy for them to share. So can we have Tim, Danielle, and Melody come up? Thank you.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Amen, saints. I just want to share with you all what Chris said before. Prophesying is not foretelling the future, right? But prophesying is actually to speak for God, to speak forth God and speak God into people. And so what's the common denominator here, right? It's just God. And to do these three things, we have to spend much time in His Word and in His presence. So So like Chris said, this past school year, for about maybe half a year, once a week, a few of us from our home meeting would get together and get into the Holy Word for Morning Revival. And, you know, there were six of us in our group. There were four students, a full-timer, and one community saint. I know a lot of you might not have a lot of students on your campuses, but the community saints can be great companions too, right? So we all have companions. We just need to, if you feel like you don't, you know, just pray, right? Lord, give me a companion. So, amen. So because there are six of us, and there are 6 days in the Holy Word for Morning Revival, we all assign one day to each person. And on their assigned day, this person would text maybe their enjoyment from that day's portion, maybe the verse or just something that they had enjoyed to the rest of us. And for example, like today I was enjoying Jeremiah 15:16, right? Oh, your words are found and I ate them. Amen. And so, you know, if I had enjoyed this verse in the morning, I would maybe text to my group, praise the Lord, his word is food. His word is food to us, right? And when we eat his food, when we eat this food, then we get him as our life and our life supply. So just something short like this in a text I would send to the group, right? And so in the beginning, it was very encouraging, right? Every morning I would try to get into the word a little and get into that day's portion. And then when I would receive the text from someone else in our group later on, it would be like, oh, amen, I enjoyed that point. That was something I enjoyed also. Or, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that when I was going over it. And so it was very encouraging. So these texts were always full of life, right? But as the school year goes on, you know, we all get busy. And sometimes you didn't make enough time to get into the portion that morning. And then on these days, I would get the text later on throughout the day and be like, oh, wait, I have no idea what they're talking about. It's enjoyable, but I didn't know what it was related to. So it kind of even became a conviction, you know, right? I was convicted in my heart when I realized I didn't go over that day's portion. And so I kind of made this into like a game or like a challenge to me. If, you know, I got the text that day, I have to make myself, you know, get into that portion and go over that day's portion before I got the text every day. Because when the text came, I didn't want it to be just an introduction to that day's portion, but rather I wanted it to be an adding word to my enjoyment. Amen. Amen. And so as the quarter went on, we started learning how to really dig deep into these riches. And so we practiced, you know, highlighting and marking up the pages of our book, right? But most importantly, we learned to, you know, write down specific things that we enjoyed. And even sometimes, you know, one specific point that we enjoyed. And, you know, those 2.5 lines that are on every other page of the Morning Revival at the very bottom that you never fill in? Well, they're there for a reason, right? So sometimes when the Lord would touch us about certain things, we would just write them down, right? And in this way, our enjoyment was pinpointed, right? It was concentrated. And because, you know, there's so much riches in these pages, you know, they're just pages full of riches for us to enjoy. Sometimes our enjoyment is very vague, and even, you know, you just get a lot of enjoyment drifting around in your head, and it's fleeting, right? So by the time Lord's Day comes along, I have nothing to share, right? But it's not true, right? Because all throughout the week, we've been enjoying certain points, and so, amen. So by writing these things down on Lord's Day, we would have something prepared. And as Chris mentioned, you know, later on, we began coming to our Thursday times together with a small prophecy prepared. And during these times, we would speak them to one another. So on Thursday, we already had like a rough draft of what we wanted to say on Lord's Day. And when speaking to one another, we were able to receive some, you know, some feedback or some correcting or even adjusting in what we wanted to share. So on Lord's Day, we could speak a clear and building word to all the saints. And praise the Lord. Amen. So prophesying is not just for the Lord's Day, right? But like Chris said, it's for, we can speak God to one another all throughout the week. And having these times, I really realized that You know, it's not just our speaking on the Lord's Day that builds up the church, but rather, you know, as you spend your time in the Word all throughout the week, the Lord is doing a building work in us. He's doing a building work individually in each one of you, right? And so, praise the Lord, day by day, we can speak a building word to one another. This can be through, you know, just speaking face to face or even in text. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a speaking God. We have to be a speaking people. Praise the Lord, saints. Two verses that really sum up my experience during these Thursday times is 1 Corinthians 14:26 and 1 Timothy 1:7. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. Praise the Lord. Just these three words, each one has. Every single time I read this verse, every time the Lord would bring this verse up to me, it was always each one has. Each one of you has. So, I mean, we all have this portion that we should not despise. Saints, we should not despise our portion. In fact, we need to speak it boldly to one another. So during these Thursday times, I appreciated that we would practice speaking to one another. And it wouldn't just be in person, but it would be through the phone, by texting, and eventually in the prophesying meeting. So just in a short experience, this was like the first couple weeks we had been doing this. And I was sitting in the prophesying meeting, and I was just sitting there, just not in my spirit. And myself just kept telling me, like, you have nothing to share. Nothing to share. But Chris was sitting behind me, and Chris sent me a text. He's like, sister, like, he encouraged me to prophesy. And I looked back, and I was like, I have nothing. Like, you know, that myself was telling me I had nothing, and I was believing it. But we can't really talk in the prophesying meeting. You know, everyone else is talking. He looked and said, wait. And he forwarded me the text that I had sent that week to everybody. And I looked at it, and it was like the Lord telling me, look, you have something. You have a tongue. Each one has. No matter how small, all can prophesy. So praise the Lord, I stood up and shared. But, you know, I took these times as a time to practice. You know, and we used many practical things to share. And one of these was writing down something we had enjoyed throughout the week. And I had never done this before. You know, my time in the morning was just calling the Lord, pray, read maybe. You know, read the portion and then highlight, and then the book would go back on the shelf, back into my backpack. You know, nothing, it would just be done right after that. Right after I finished that portion, I would just close the book. But when I exercised to just take a few minutes to even muse over the verse that I had read or muse over this portion that I had just read, and I would write a couple things down. What a difference! This experience was so different. And it was such an exercise. You know, they say exercise is not an easy thing. So I just would wake up a couple minutes earlier so I could do this. You know, and by the end, I would at least have 10 to 12 sentences written down that I could formulate into a prophecy. So the more we got together, the more we would share with one another, my spirit was enlivened. My spirit was strengthened and emboldened. Each week, the Lord would work in me little by little, reminding me that I have a spirit of power, not a spirit of cowardice. So this is what 1 Timothy 1:7 says. For you do not have a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. So I got to the point where I was so excited to share because I knew the Lord had something in me. He wanted me to share. So our portion is not something we keep to ourselves. But it's something that we share. Hallelujah for the prophesying. Oh, it defeats Satan and builds up his church.
You guys know what that lower right corner in the morning Bible is called? It's called enlightenment inspiration. So when we get into our morning Bible daily, the Lord might shine something on you. The Lord might inspire you at a certain point. And it's meant to be written down in that lower right corner. So on Lord's Day, we'll have something to share. Daily, when you enjoy something and you've written it down, it becomes solid. It becomes your enjoyment. And on Lord's Day, you know, you won't be scrambling through your morning Bibles. Oh, I don't know what to share. You got something. let me read with you. You know, but on Lord's Day, we look at the thing that we've written down, the enjoyment just comes back to you, and you're ready to prophesy. And this time, it really helped me personally because I never had more revival, constant more revival before. But this more revival really helped me. Like, on Lord's Day, others would stand, like, they would stand up and share, and then Chris would stand up and share. And he would not stop looking at me until I stand up and share. And it just becomes even enjoyable thing to share in the Lord's Day. Because each one of us have a special portion that no other saint have. And if we don't share it, they won't be able to enjoy it. And this time even eventually led to a hunger for myself in the Word. And I will start to read a chapter a day and on my own time. And I will start to text the people. Because, you know, when you have so much life within you, you just can't help but flow out. And so I started texting people daily. And even this texting people helped me to keep myself in the Word as well, because sometimes I'll sleep in and I won't read the Word in the morning. The brothers will text me, "Hey, what's your verse today? I need your portion." Saints, we all need each other's portion. And we all need to share it with one another. That 1 Thessalonians says, "Do not despise prophecy. Do not quench your spirit." Amen. We all need to prophesy this. Amen. We all need to prophesy and build out the church.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Really enjoyed those testimonies. Amen. So I'm just going to conclude just by reviewing a few things. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you love what He loves?
Amen.
Do you prophesy in the church meetings?
Amen.
Amen. Really, it's very practical. We do love the Lord, you know. Yeah, just consider I'm in front of 400 lovers of Jesus.
Yeah.
So wonderful, you know. I'm always touched that so many would give $300 and an entire week of your summer, you know, to come and be here. It's really an expression of your love for the Lord. So we do love the Lord, right? And but we realize that to love the Lord, eventually and practically, it means that we love what He loves, right? And He loves the church, right? And the one thing on His heart is the great prophecy in Matthew 16:18, or is it 16:16? To build up the church, right? I will build my church. But practically, brothers and sisters, it's us who builds the church, right? He builds the church through us, and eventually it comes down. He builds the church through our speaking. Wow, Lord Jesus. This matter of recovering the prophesying is a great matter, you know, and actually it's still being recovered. And if we're honest, we'll realize that we need to seek more, right? We need more seeking to excel in this matter of prophesying. Lord Jesus, the testimonies of the saints just now was very inspiring. You know, they actually paid much attention to this matter of prophesying to the point that it got down to their daily living. The morning revival was not just a duty, but they were looking forward to being able to have something in the church meetings. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in well, I'd like to review some of the practical matters. Maybe you want to write it down. But anyhow, for our practice, right? You know, the matter of prophesying, the Bible says you can all prophesy. In other words, we all have the capacity, right? As human beings, we have the capacity of speech, right? Which animals don't have. But as believers, we have the capacity in our divine birth to prophesy. So you can all prophesy. But prophesying, it takes some learning. It takes some practice. And so we want to share, we want to highlight some of the practical things that were already came out. First of all, You know? It's very practical. We have to get revived every morning. Getting revived every morning is the first step of being able to prophesy. Because to prophesy is not just a performance, you know, in front of a lot of people. To prophesy is to speak building up. To speak building up is to speak Christ, right? And to impart Christ to others. And how else can we do it unless we've been receiving Christ, right? So it starts by our daily being revived. We need to have new inspiration to be revived every morning, because this is a requirement for our prophesying to build up the church. Amen. Okay, the second practical thing is bring a pen, right? Bring a pen with you. Take notes, right? The saints, they shared those two lines, two or three lines, are there for a reason. This is very practical, but we need to take notes. I appreciated the sister. She said she highlighted and she marked up her morning revival book, you know? Don't let that book remain clean, right? As you're reading it, you should use your pen. This is very practical. A brother shared one time, you know, you can read for inspiration, right? But inspiration is fleeting. But we need constitution, right? Constitution is what will nourish us in the long term. But eventually, the best way to get constituted is to use your pen, you know? Highlight whatever the Lord is touching you on. Pay attention to what is the crucial point in the reading. Right, so you can lay hold of something, and then eventually just jot down your inspiration. We should practice this, and then we can go further, right? To text our inspiration to our companions. Praise the Lord. Okay, another practical item is eventually you need to compose something, right? You take the sum total of your inspirations through the week and you compose something. And in the reading in your binders, talks about coming together toward the end of the week to spend a little extra time. The saints who shared just now, they came together on Thursday. And they had some amount of time. So it could be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Anyhow, toward the end of the week, when you've had an accumulation of inspiration, come together with others to practice something, right? And even to, you can learn from one another, you can perfect one another so that your speaking will be the best, right? And then, so you've composed something, and then the fourth thing I just like to say is practice, right? Speak it. Speak it a number of times. You can speak it in that group that you came together with. You can speak it in your home with your housemates. Anyhow, to practice, right? Practice makes perfect. The more you practice, the better your prophesying will be eventually in the meetings. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this is practical, right? Saints, it's practical. I think sometimes we kind of don't pay much attention to things that are too practical, right? But brothers and sisters, it's so practical. But it means so much, right? We're talking about building up the church. We're talking about, you know, the building up of the body is the preparation of the bride, is what brings the Lord back. You know, this is not a small thing. Today the Lord has recovered so much, but this matter of prophesying is actually still being recovered. You know, we have a prophesying meeting, but the prophesying is still being recovered, saints. And we need to rise up to really recover this matter. Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. May we be those who love life. We hate death. We don't stand for death, right? But we come forward to function. We have the capacity. But we seek to perfect this capacity. We seek to excel in this matter of prophesying. So we wouldn't despise the church meetings. We wouldn't despise the prophesying. But we would pay much attention to this, and we would realize the gravity of it, right? The weight of our functioning in the way of prophesying. Praise the Lord.